So, Michael D. Shaw, welcome to the program every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Mike is a medical writer, a health writer. You've written over 1,000 columns, Mike, going back probably at 10 years.
Corinthian columns, Doric columns, you name it.
You bet, going all the way back to the ancient times.
That's right.
So, we usually start with a quick overview on the latest on the pandemic. What, I mean, the good news that I see coming out today is that 3 weeks ago, when the state of Texas decided to end all mandates and end the lockdown, they said that people certainly have the right to continue with it if they want to and wear masks and take precautions, and businesses have the right, we had the right to do whatever they wanted in terms of all of it, but they ended it effectively. And at the time, there was all this gnashing of teeth, and oh my God, you heard Fauci came out and said this is going to be a catastrophe. There's going to be a huge surge in hospitalizations,
And he's an expert.
of course. And then Biden actually weighed in on this with a ridiculous remark referring to the Texas governor or the people of Texas as Neanderthals. And it
Well,
was
I
a
object
direct
to that
challenge.
because I don't think Neanderthals, one, ever lived in Texas.
Right.
Maybe they, but it wasn't Texas then, I don't believe. You're the history guy, you tell me.
I say we're all Neanderthals now. And right, I mean, and 3 weeks later, it has the fastest dropping cases of any state in the union.
Coincidental, I'm sure.
Coincidental, and yet I hear nothing. You could hear a pin drop. Whereas, the most masked of states, the bluest of states, like New York, California, Michigan, they're having an uptick.
Yes,
So
yes.
what does this say? I mean, just Fauci doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, the problem one is that Fauci just should not have that job. I mean, we've discussed that
Yeah.
numerous times. But it's, you can look at the observation, which is, okay, they eliminated the mask thing. And I suppose you could say maybe people are being more careful now with their mask. Maybe the mask had nothing to do with anything. And there's, by the way, plenty of data out there showing the progress of the pandemic. And you'll see a curve with highly masked countries that goes in a certain whatever. And then you'll see a curve with the unmasked countries and non-lockdown countries. And the curve kind of goes what it does. The coronaviruses are going to do what they're going to do. And that's really the simplest explanation. Also, it's not really fair to call it a pandemic anymore because it's on the downward trend. It's really more properly an endemic, although I realize that isn't going to scare people quite as much. All I
Well,
can
I
say
think
is,
that Fauci himself even now admits that there's not going to be another wave as long as people continue. He says, as long as everyone continues to get the vaccine. Now, we're not doing this on YouTube so we could talk about the vaccine. The bottom line is that, as you know, I got the vaccine, the first dose of Pfizer about 2 weeks ago. And I don't e I neither condone or condemn. It's a personal choice. I did it. I made the decision to do it for a lot of reasons that have to do with my personal life. That's my business. So far, so good. I don't see any ill effects. I'm worried about the next dose, which is coming up actually a week from Friday. And I read in the Drudge Report today that a lot of people are not going for the second dose because I think the second dose is, I don't know, there's problematic issues around it. What's
Well,
going on?
all right. If people are having side effects, I'm talking about immediate side effects. It seems to come more from the second dose, presumably because that's a somewhat higher concentration or whatever. But there really hasn't been that much negative on these vaccines, but there's still been too much for my taste. There's hundreds of people that have contracted COVID-19 after getting the vaccine. Unfortunately, there's...
Now, did they contract it, they think, because of the vaccine or just because they...
Well, that's a $64 question.
Sure.
Because of so-called antibody-dependent enhancement, again, you're going to have to prove that. I mean, that concept did exist for SARS and MERS vaccines. Coronaviruses are not so simple. And okay, let me explain that. When they were trying to make a vaccine for SARS, the original SARS and MERS, they ran animal studies. It turns out that ferrets, believe it or not, have a very similar immune system to humans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running tests on ferrets. And what happened was they give them these vaccines. Everything seems to be cool. And then they expose them to so-called wild type SARS, MERS. They all die.
By the way, let me just interject briefly here. I'm getting a TikTok. I did not say I'm not getting the second dose. Okay. I mean, somebody's accusing me. They say I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm not saying I probably am getting the second dose.
Yeah, you're a little worried. So.
I'm just concerned about it because of reports that I'm hearing of people who have a more adverse reaction to it, and that they're apparently, according to the Drudge Report today, there are growing numbers of people who are opting not to get the second dose. I'm simply reporting that. I'm not talking about what I'm doing.
Well, one of the silly things about how this is rolled out, to go on a sidetrack for a moment,
sure,
is that Johnson & Johnson, or the so-called Janssen vaccine, is one dose.
Right.
So you would think that people would prefer having one dose.
Sure. And I would have rather do. Yeah.
The problem is that it is difficult to specify that vaccine. It turns out that my youngest son, who's very clever, figured out a way to do it, but it took an extreme effort.
How do you do it?
Well, no, I mean, what basically happened was they're in Cabo, San Jose del Cabo, Mexico.
Okay.
And he was not really in favor of the vaccine, but he was very afraid at the time with the vaccine passports, which we can talk about later.
Sure.
He said, you know, fine, he's going to get it, but he's going to make sure that he gets the J&J. And I said, well, how can you do that? It turns out that somehow he was able to find some form in Kern County, California. So he had to drive a little bit from where he lives, and filling out the form in a certain way, you could actually specify that vaccine. Seems stupid, but he did the research.
Interesting. I mean, I know in my case, I mean, I just showed up at the clinic where I was scheduled to get it, and they told me what I was getting.
Yeah.
They didn't ask. And the Massachusetts didn't eat at the time. I asked them, and they said the state hadn't even gotten any J&J yet. So,
well, there was a big problem. There were 15 million doses of it that got ruined.
Yeah.
In a plant in Maryland, which they're still investigating, but that, you know, that didn't help. But,
no, so,
but the point is that I think what's happened with this not getting the second dose thing is a combination of, there was a lot of publicity that the reaction is going to be worse. Some people who got the first dose started reading some of the contrary and figured, you know what, I'm not going to do it.
Sure.
And but in answer to your question about the people that did get COVID after taking the course of vaccines,
right?
There's around, again, it's very hard to get this information. There's a couple hundred people who got varying severities of COVID. There is something like between a dozen and 20 deaths that occurred on people who were vaccinated. So this raises the question, it's hard to prove, was there antibody-dependent enhancement? For the viewers, what that means is there are bizarre cases I think with, well, with coronaviruses and with dengue virus for sure, that in some cases a vaccine will have a paradoxical effect where it will create an antibody that actually express trains the pathogen into the cell instead of blocking that. It's a very bizarre phenomenon.
How, I mean, what is, statistically speaking, do we have data on how often that occurs in terms of percentage of the numbers of vaccines issued?
It's very, it's very difficult because how do you, there's probably some fancy genetic way of doing that, but consider that how it manifests itself, there are two celebrated cases that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
One is the one I mentioned with the ferrets. That was the explanation proffered. In other words, these ferrets are doing great. You hit them with the wild virus and they all die, okay? They all died. So you have to assume that it was something to do with the vaccine.
Right.
And the only explanation in the world of vaccines that they come up with is antibody-dependent enhancement. Now, the other one that was pretty sad was there was a dengue virus vaccine that was developed with the money of, tell me if you heard this before, a Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was sent out to the Philippines.
Right.
And there was something like 800,000 kids that were vaccinated. These are young kids.
Oh, my God. You know, I really find, look, it's one thing for me, an older guy, but, I mean, to give them to children, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, I find that to be some, to be unconscionable. And also, it's not, I mean, it's not like, you know, in children, it's statistically extremely rare for the virus to have that.
Well, no, okay, I'm talking about the dengue virus.
Dengue, okay.
Yeah, okay, I'm talking about the dengue virus. Which is pretty significant in some countries.
Oh, well, that's another story.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But this is the other example of antibody-dependent.
What happened in the Philippines?
All right, well, there were about 800,000 doses given. And there's a big question mark as to how well, how extensive the clinical trials were.
When was this done?
Information.
How recently?
2016, I think.
Okay, so there's been enough time has elapsed that we could probably have a medical analysis in terms of what.
Well, yeah, but here's the disturbing part.
Okay.
Antibody dependent enhancement generally occurs within a relatively short period of time, a few months.
Right.
So there are, again, depending on who you want to believe, somewhere between 24 and 100 cases of antibody dependent enhancement deaths from dengue virus in these kids. Now, you can argue it any way you want, that, well, compared to 800,000, compared to the fact that it's a serious disease, we don't know exactly why this occurred, but it's pretty much, you have to conclude that this phenomenon of antibody-dependent enhancement did occur in this case.
Right, it was more that the numbers show something that couldn't have been an accidental significant figure.
And the thing that bothered me about this case was that supposedly they did work to ensure that this would not happen because they claimed to have some magic way of preventing this, but I never understood what that was. And
right.
So the point to your audience is this phenomenon exists. It's not made up. This does occur.
No, it's not made up, but I would suggest that, and again, I'm speaking here with no scientific knowledge, but so far I would suggest that things are looking okay.
Yeah.
Vaccine. I mean, yeah, there might have been, there's been some situations of death. And obviously, you know, some people have gotten very sick, but the percentage, given the fact that now I believe that there's almost 100 million vaccinations in this country, we're talking about you know, if I were to be a betting man and I was to put money on a lottery, it's like winning the lottery. You know what I mean? It's the likelihood of it is extremely insignificant. Not that it couldn't happen.
Right. Well, I mean, but you have to put this in the whole spectrum of looking at this thing.
Yeah.
This thing started with what other people have referred to, and I think it's kind of cool term, therapeutic nihilism. Okay.
Okay.
What that means is that there were no therapies that were advanced. The idea was, if you think you have COVID, hide in your house and wait until a vaccine comes, despite the fact that there were other therapies out there.
And this is really troubling, as we've talked about this.
It's extremely troubling.
That there are many countries around the world that are using alternative therapies, including the H drug, which we can't mention by name because I'll be banned. We know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And
perhaps more importantly, the I drug, which finally the NIH has backed off.
So I think we can mention that. Well, ibuprofen or something?
Ivermectin.
Ivermectin.
And the cool thing about ivermectin is that it is effective against many viruses, including coronaviruses, and, oh, by the way, dengue. So the fact that this was not advanced gets you in and out conspiracy theory kind of talking in that.
There's a lot of money involved here. Drug companies.
Remdesivir never really worked, and it was $3,000 a dose. All right.
But they're making a ton of money on this stuff, and whereas the H drug can be bought for $20 over the counter, and the I drug probably, not to mention natural remedies. I know it sounds corny, but President Trump was right when he talked about that we're not getting enough sun rays and vitamin D,
absolutely.
And you know, I mean, I think that I make sure I go out every day to get at least 45 minutes of direct sunlight, and I try to really expose myself to it as much as possible. And especially when you live up where I do in Boston, and you're up northern part of the country where people generally are vitamin D deficient, so you want to take, there's nothing wrong with taking a I'm into supplements, I'm not recommending it, but a vitamin D supplement.
And it's been demonstrated that essentially everybody who died of COVID was vitamin D deficient.
And I also take a multivitamin with zinc.
Yeah, and zinc's another factor. But here is where some of this disingenuous Fauci stuff comes in. I happen to see a tape of one of his 3 million interviews that he gives.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about that he personally takes vitamin D.
But he didn't mention this last March.
No.
He didn't mention zinc. He didn't mention...
he's a total shill. He's a fraud. He's propped up by Big Pharma because obviously if there's no therapy, people are going to, then you can draw the analogy to polio. There were some crummy therapies for polio, but the fact was that the only way to eventually have solved it was the vaccine. So they were trying to drag that 1954 history into this, get people all psyched up for a vaccine. And in some cases, in some states, they actually threatened to pull the license of doctors that were using ivermectin.
Oh my God, yeah.
This is why, I've said this so many times and people complain. This is why I hate academic doctors and government doctors, because it's all part of this control function. They don't know anything about real life. And even when confronted with real life, and here's the point, even when confronted with real life, they still go back on their pet hypotheses. And I have personal experience that would blow your mind about how stupid most of these people are in terms of what's going on in the real world. But these are the people that set public health policy. And it was because of a handful of physicians that essentially lobbied NIH, say, no, ivermectin's okay. Here's all the studies from all these other countries that they reluctantly pulled the evil designation away from this drug. So this was a, in many cases, created pandemic. It was created because that virus was either released or manufactured in China, and then it was exacerbated by not having proper therapies. And vaccine is not a therapy.
And the question, I mean, not that we really know, but the question of whether or not it was released by China and whether it was in the lab, that's something that's now even being admitted by, you know, the Lester Holtz of the world. I mean, you know, I have to watch Lester.
Well, damage is done. Who cares?
You know? Well, I mean, it's still, I mean, a hot potato, but, you know, it, there are questions about that. I mean, China gained greatly from it, and they also did a lot of covering it up in the early stages, because what they've done is they've virtually crippled the Western democracies, not just the United States, but, you know, Europe and other economies. That's what communists do. I mean, that's not, this is political. You know, they sit around and they figure out how they can win and how they can get take advantage of their enemies. And the possibility that they did this using a biological weapon is very plausible. I mean, I don't know this, but, you know, it seems to be the case. I mean, a while back I had on Lord Monckton, who's a British, he's a British member of parliament, and he's a member of House of Lords. And he's done a lot of research on this, and he said this on my show early on, back in March, that this is a Chinese military operation. And I don't doubt that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things that's, it might be difficult to prove, but it's one of these Occam's razors deal.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at every other explanation, it's hard to accept that there's some benign reason for this. And if you add to that, that everybody in the early days was mocking Trump for wanting to ban the travel and so on. Nancy Pelosi is out there in Chinatown, in San Francisco, telling people, come on down.
Come in. Yeah, sure. Yeah. This so, was, by the way, late March. We're not talking
about
it. And I mean, I was in Boston hearing all the liberal politicians screaming about Trump being a xenophobe.
That's right.
You know, this was like the big talking point.
And you, well, I mean, the beauty of having the media that's completely in the tank is that nothing contrary to the narrative gets reported, whether it's the fact that the latest shooter in the Capitol was a black Muslim instead of some disaffected right-wing white guy.
Oh, they did report that. But you know something, every time these horrible things happen, I mean, you probably have the same. The first thing I look at, I'm like, thank God it wasn't either a Trump supporter or a Jew.
Right.
So, but I think everybody said, they're like, I'm glad it wasn't one of mine, you know?
Yeah, but
because the way the media is now, they're going to demonize a whole group of people. I mean, in this case, they're not, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Well, and it disappeared from the news cycle in about 2 days.
Yeah,
that was the other thing.
That's right.
If it had been a Trump supporter, they'd be talking about it for the next 5 years. So,
plus he didn't use a gun.
Yeah. Oh no.
I think he used a kitchen knife.
That's right.
He banned kitchen knives. I mean.
Well, for some people, maybe.
Yeah.
So then you get in to this Ron DeSantis business with 60 Minutes.
And what a setup. And they've really been called out for that, because DeSantis isn't taking that line down.
Well, the Democrats in Florida were defending him.
Of course. I mean, it's a perfect illustration of what's always been the case, of course. And that was just a open, blatant setup, a complete falsehood. He was like, I mean, first of all, the Publix company gives big money to all sides.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a big business in Florida. That's what most corporations do. I mean, Donald Trump did this when he was a corporation. He'd give money to, you know, a conservative. He gave money to Hillary Clinton. I mean, which is money for the Senate. That's what this is. How businesses are not ideological donors. They give money to both sides, and they give money usually to the side that they think is going to win. So the fact that Publix donated to them, that's ridiculous.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, outside of people like you, that have to watch this crap, so we don't. At some point, why are there any ratings on this show, the 60 Minutes, from people who are conservative? I mean, it reminds me of the old joke. Do you remember George Lincoln Rockwell, the American Nazi yes. Party? Mm-hmm. And it was described by Mort Saul and others that if you went to a Nazi Party rally with George Lincoln Rockwell, there were 10 Nazis there and 900 irate Jews, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think this is kind of what's happening, that people get this masochistic thing. Now look what 60 Minutes, but how about, I don't care. Don't watch it. They have no credibility.
They certainly are shrinking in credibility now. I mean, this is, you know, it's all obviously a setup. George Lincoln Rockwell, by the way, I mean, my dear friend, the late, great Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld.
Oh, I remember him.
You remember Sam?
Yeah.
I did hundreds of hours with him. He's great.
One of these smart guys.
He was great, yeah. He did a pretty deep paper on Rockwell showing that the guy actually, the whole thing, he was, first of all, he was a communist, and he was literally, as in, you know, Soviet style, set up. All of a sudden, he shows up one day with this spiffy outfit and this great flag and people that looked like they were cookie cutter hired hands. And, you know, and he goes on and he does, all of a sudden the media wakes up, oh, you know, there's an American Nazi party and they're putting him on the front page. And he was very good looking and he was, you know, oh, and they're like, look at this, we have a real problem. And they just invented, really. And he was so phony. I mean, he went out and he'd have like a, you know, because back then it was folk music, he'd have a hate nanny. And he, right? You know, I mean, it was so
funny. I haven't heard that since the 60s. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of a hoot nanny. I mean, it was, you know, and he would stage these events where nobody knew where the money was coming from.
That was complete BS. That's...
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, literally an attempt to, you know, create a division and a wedge. And of course, they'd hold up. Oh, look at this, is really what's going on. You know, this is the Frankfurt School. This is really the conservative and the middle-class American. Secretly, if you scratch the surface, you know, this is what they really are, who they really are. And of course, he ended up being assassinated in 1967 over basically a squabble with his homosexual lover, and who shot him
while he was. Yeah, it was just all bad. It was all bad.
The whole thing was just a big farce. And Sam, I don't know if that article is available anywhere. I think it's still up there, but it's really, he goes into it note by note. He looks at the whole story. But, you know, so yeah, I mean, I only mention it now because you talk about these phony, you know, these shock moments.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to ring up, you know, Ron DeSantis, who is actually a significant Republican conservative figure.
Well, that's what they're worried about.
Yeah. They're going to do this really, you know, kind of crappy, you know, hit piece on him.
But it backfires because it's so stupid.
And, you know, in the case of Ron DeSantis, he's actually a pretty stand up guy. They don't know who they're messing with. He got up. You can see his videos. It's all over. You know, I don't know if the YouTube's carrying it, but it's on TikTok for sure.
Yeah, it's limited.
He's like, this is crap. I mean, and he lays it out and you know, people and he's using it as a vehicle to hit back. And I think that
He's so effective. He's so effective with this that Axios has come in and say he's overdoing it. You know, he's using this as a hobby horse to create his own thing.
And I hope he rides it right to the White House.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, absolutely. And also the situation in Georgia is backfiring on the left.
Oh boy.
They've really stepped in it this time. I mean, this is, even Stacey Abrams is backing away. This is the fact that the National Baseball League would cancel the All-Star game in Atlanta. This is like the Wellstone funeral. You know, this is a moment where the left is exposed and the whole country sees it, that how phony this is. The fact, first of all, the racist fact, that the idea that they would think that Black people are somehow less capable than white people to register to vote.
Right.
You know, this is an old kind of imperialistic British, you know, white man's burden.
White man's burden. Racism.
you know, this kind of the black people, they look at them like they're children. You know, these
Rudyard Kipling would be proud.
Yeah, these left-wing, predominantly white leftist liberals. They, first of all, they don't know black people, and they just, you know, they've seen them on TV. No, yeah, sure, that's right. You know, they've seen a documentary. Oh, yes. You know, so they're using them as a way to try to essentially tell this Georgia State Legislature that they can't put in laws that protect the vote in that state after this horrendous election. And these, you know, they talk about voter suppression. Voter suppression happens when a real vote is canceled by a fake vote. That's voter suppression. That's when your vote is weakened by a false vote. Your vote is suppressed in the real sense. And the state is reacting to that because there was a lot of that going on. And we can say this because we're not on YouTube. In this last election, in particularly in that state.
Yeah.
The people.
Well, that wasn't the only one. I mean, Arizona now.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch some of these fringe YouTubers that I like Razor Fist, he was quoting numbers somewhere between 150,000 and 400,000 question ballots in Arizona alone.
Look, we can, you know, we, this is, a, I mean, I'm having, I don't know, do you know who Doug Tenapel is?
Yes.
Yeah, he's coming on the show today, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, he's coming on later. And, you know, he was doing a very solid, responsible job. I don't think he's particularly conservative. He's probably liberal. And he was simply reporting on this issue and going into.
I think he's more of an egghead. I mean, he's necessarily
good. He's not an ideal. He's not political. He was just, exactly, he was going through the stats. I think he's a documentary filmmaker or something. And now he's been banned on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So he's coming on my show. Anyway, you know, we could talk about this. We have talked about it. I don't think there's any question that this election was completely stolen. And either way, whether you think so or not, the fact is that state legislators have the moral responsibility, have the legal responsibility, the constitutional responsibility to regulate elections in their states. And that was usurped by these activists, secretaries of states, and governors and judges, who then fix these election laws to help their side. I don't think there's any question about that. And that's why they're pressuring companies to boycott Georgia, not because they get something against black people. It's because Georgia is finally, it's too late now for the last election, but they're finally reasserting the responsibility by the legislature to protect the vote. Now, there's another thing I wanted to mention to you, because we've talked about this. George Gilder is a very respected intellectual. I think you probably heard of him.
Yeah,
I think he spent several years in China during the Bush administration as a special ambassador. And he's just one of these guys who really has a lot of depth and a lot of gravitas. And I heard an interview with him a couple of years ago now, maybe a year ago, where he talked about, and he was the first person to expose the use by China of social scores. In other words, the communist Chinese give every citizen a social score based upon whether or not they're politically correct. And if you don't have a high enough social score, you can't function. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't leave your community. You probably can't marry certain people. Your children can't go to certain schools. You know, and they have the data because they're using high-tech means of gathering it now on every single person in that country. And Gilder said that we better watch it because this is what Google is going to do here. And this is what high tech is going to start to do in the United States. And at the time, you know, you kind of scoff, well, that could never happen here. We are never going to have social scores. Well, apparently, according to what I'm listening to today from Jeff Kooner, who's a WRKO talk show, who's very knowledgeable, and he has a column up on the WRKO website, which I recommend. The Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these guys have developed a system of scoring businesses. They're using what's called the the ESG system. E stands for environment, S stands for social justice or socialism, and G stands for governance. And they are rating businesses, both large and small, based upon these three factors, whether or not they are have a good enough score, whether or not they are goose-stepping to the left far enough on any one of these issues. And if you are failing in any one of these issues, you're not going to get the right social score, which means you're not going to get the right placement in social media. You could end up being, you know, shadow banned. You could be demonetized. They could take away your, you know, your ability to PayPal as part of this. You know, you could kind of do online transactions. I mean, my YouTube account has been demonetized a while ago, and I've been shadow banned on YouTube. It's a real thing.
Well, let me point out something. You're not the only one. I mean,
oh yeah,
there is a war against independent content creators.
I mean, Breitbart's been.
Well, right. I mean, it doesn't matter how
they're huge. They've got a major. They've got outlets in Great Britain and Israel, and you know, they got a full staff. I mean, this is a big news gathering organization, and they've been shadow banned on social network. The point I'm making is that this method, according to Jeff Kuhner's speculation, has everything to do with why Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines and Home Depot are calling for boycotts of Georgia, because that to do so is now seen as getting a high S score.
Well, what was funny about this, with respect to Coca-Cola, if you saw it, was that there is a video of the CEO of Coca-Cola, who, by the way, speaks English as if it was a third or fourth language. So where the hell that guy came from, that's another matter.
Yes.
But then, the of course, when they transplant the All-Star game to Colorado, which has essentially the same voter laws as are now being done in Georgia, right, they really stepped in it. The other thing was that Denver is about 9% Black. Atlanta is 51% Black. So it's like, who is being served here? They blew this one, and I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle on this.
No, that's what I mean. They overstepped. I mean, this is stepping in.
Whatever they think they're going to earn on these social credit scores.
Well, what it explains is, why is it that companies would do these things? I mean, we've talked about the fact that, like, the major, you know, major league, you know, the NFL, you know, major sports, major entertainment, right, that they're all doing these things that are not popular, and they're losing momentum. They're losing.
Well, they don't care about business.
Well, it's because of these scores. They're being scored, and they want to have. It's suddenly more important that they keep this score up. Then, and they don't, you know, so they're doing, they allow people to kneel, and they're doing all this other crap because it goes, you know, it's in favor of these goose steppers who are running the means of communication.
Well, but the other thing that people don't want to talk about is that if I take some globalist MBA who never operated a lemonade stand, and he becomes the CEO of a corporation, he doesn't know anything about business.
Right.
He may know how to say the right buzzwords in a very large multi-billion dollar corporation. So they're not inclined to any of this. Look at this Gillette thing that happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Stupid. All right. They lost several billion dollars in sales, but apparently it didn't matter. Procter & Gamble said, that's great. Because the people running it aren't the ones who built it. Okay. So they can go to their country clubs and talk about their social justice awareness and so on, or their score, if you like, but they're going to end up losing real business. Delta had to cancel 100 flights after they came out on this Georgia law.
Yeah. And also, said, well, the Georgia state legislature has decided not to give them tax breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to implode. It's going to take, to use Steve Turley's favorite word, but it's going to take a while. But it just, they can't Major League Baseball is already in the dumps. The demographic,
you know, of all things. I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, don't they realize that about half, I would even suggest more than half of people who go to baseball games are Trump supporters? I mean, you know, I mean, and are conservatives. And
according to Melinda Gates, we didn't think about that.
No, I guess not.
And that was, by the way, her answer when she was asked in an otherwise softball interview on this lockdown thing. Did you ever consider the economic consequences of these lockdowns?
We never thought about that.
They're that
why, should, why should they think about it? They're worth how many billions of dollars?
Well, that's
what they care.
That's it. The CEOs,
and they say they're so self-righteous about it, as if there's some virtue and they're not thinking about it. Oh no, we're standing for something greater, something
this
higher.
Is purity. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, why these people get the time of day, I don't really understand. I guess if you have a certain amount of money.
It also has to do with, I think, the Great Reset.
Oh, yeah.
I've got Jay Dyer coming up with me on Friday. We're going to be talking about that. And he's
you're getting all the good guests now.
I am, all of a sudden. People seem to want to come on. Whatever.
Well, let me tell you why. And I'm not patronizing you here, but it's very nice to be interviewed by someone who's actually intelligent and thinks about the questions, as opposed to some sort of rat-a-tat-tat, what's your favorite color?
Right.
Where did you go to school? And, you know, so.
Well, the problem is I have to worry about being having them pull the plug on me. And, I think it's anyone's worrying about that.
Any independent content creator is.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care how big you are.
You know, there's some good news. I mean, I think that Clarence Thomas recently wrote, I haven't read the decision yet, but
yeah.
He wrote a dissenting decision about Facebook, which I think is something that's going to start to take some legs to it. I don't know.
I think you're right.
The rest of those guys over there are really weak, you know, just who knows what the hell. But I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Let's just put it that way.
Well, maybe people will wake up. It remains to be seen. I mean, there's certainly a lot of viral videos of you've probably seen that pastor from Canada kicking out the health inspector.
Yes, I just did a show about that with Hal Shirtliff. He's a friend of mine. He's former Birch Society. He's in Boston.
Oh.
And I hadn't talked to him in quite a while, but he came on because he did a little statement about that. That is one of the most inspiring things. This guy, I think, is a Catholic deacon. He's in Alberta, Canada.
Actually, it turns out he's not Catholic, but he's Polish, Protestant.
Okay.
Not sure how that could happen. But
however, the thing is, he was he had his service, and these guys in the clad in black leather jackets, you know, they show up, right? And he's like, "Get out! Get out!" And he called them Gestapo, and he said, "You're like Nazi psychopaths."
Well, Poland has experience with both sides.
Yeah, and he sounds like he had an accent, which makes you think he probably
Polish. Went
through some of this. Yeah,
He lived under that.
He remembers Solidarity, and he remembers when, you know, they would show up in a church and beat the hell out of people.
Yeah.
So I hope that, you know, ministers, rabbis, priests, that they can take inspiration from that, and that is making the rounds. It's gone really viral, and that he's like, "You're not coming in here and telling us we can't hold services. You know, this just ain't going to happen." And you know, it's really a disgusting thing to see right now.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, even within the Arlington Diocese, it's quite varied as to what an individual pastor will do. There's not a whole lot of leadership for most of these bishops,
no.
But in the case of our parish, right from the beginning of this thing, it was, you know, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. Try to social distance every other pew and so on and so forth. And that was it. Okay. In fact, on the very day when this thing started in March 2020, the last mass. I happened to be there. It was in the middle of a week. And the pastor said, look, I'm having my own personal private mass right now. It happens to be up on this altar. If anybody wants to hang around while I give my own private mass, and if you're still here when I'm giving myself communion, and I happen to see you lining up, you know. So what, but the point of this story is what happened was on the Easter Triduum, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil, I guess the word got out that our parish was not really enforcing this stuff, and we were packed. And the Easter Vigil, which, I mean, it's a hardcore service. It's over 2 hours long. At this parish, a lot of it is in Latin. I mean, it's pretty hardcore. What happens is, as people started filling up, I turned to my wife and said, it's just a matter of time. The social distancing is gonna go. I mean, there's no room. He's not going to turn people away. And don't you know, it was like, the Christmas children's mass 10 years ago, when there's a million people there. And
did people wear masks or not?
Very few. Very few. I think.
So far, I don't think that in places where, I mean, they just showed like a ball game in Texas and very few people had masks.
Yeah.
And the numbers are dropping.
Well, wearing masks outside, let me point this out, is absolute. Even if you believe that masks work, the coronavirus is instantly killed with UV radiation. So it doesn't exist in the air outside if there's sun. So there's no reason to wear a mask outside unless you're an idiot. I mean, or just one of the sheep. Yeah. But hopefully this will start phasing out. I mean, there are, I don't know if it happens to you, but there are times when I'm going to a Panera or some place, I'm stopping the car, go in, and oh damn, I forgot my mask. And then I've got to grab it and
got to go back and get it. I've had that.
Yeah.
And I had a situation. I think people are getting tired of it, but I actually was having lunch, and this was in ultra liberal community near where I live. I live in the city of Boston, but this is a nearby where, and I do these long walks.
Well, this was a more liberal section of it.
Yes.
Is that even possible?
And they allow you to sit at the table. You could take the mask off when you're having lunch. Well, it's not that bad. And I'm getting up to go, and the front door is not that far from where I was sitting. And I forgot to put it on. And I'm starting to walk out, and the guy standing behind the counter started yelling at me, you put on the, and you know, I always knew that these people were, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but they're Trump haters, okay? There's a certain type.
Oh, were you wearing your Trump button?
No, but I know what, but they might have heard of me, maybe. I don't know that. Yeah. But mean, sullen, angry, soulless.
They hate themselves.
Yeah, you know, like a really kind of like a pasty, complexion and just angry, you know, really like nasty. And I kept going. I said, I'm not coming back here. You know, and I left. And, you know, maybe if he had been a little nicer about it, that would have been, I would say, I'm sorry, fine. But, you know.
Well, were you surprised, or was this a part of town that was known to be a liberal?
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of town. I'm not going to even mention the name of the town. Ultra liberal. Everybody.
I can probably guess, but.
Yeah, I mean, people are wearing masks in their cars.
With a C.
And it starts with a B. It's like Cambridge. It's actually Brookline. I'll just.
Yeah. That was my second guess.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, you have people, you know, in Coolidge Corner. That's, you know, it's, I think, but I think people are starting to get a little testy, and that, you know, it's, you know, I would have hoped 3 weeks ago when Texas ended their mandates and they stopped the shutdowns and everybody was like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had Biden with the comment about, at the time I said to some people that I know, let's see what happens. Okay. 2 weeks from now, if the numbers are going up in Texas, then yeah, they'll be horrible. And, you know, we could say this, but if they're going down, even Massachusetts is going to start to question this. And they have gone down. It's been 3 weeks. Yeah. They're continuing to go down, but I don't know if the state's going to change, at least certain neighborhoods. I think some people, they're going to be putting on the double mask even after they've had both vaccines. And, you know, it's just.
Well, you know this better than most people. This liberal socialistic thing is a religion. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how many failures there are of these policies. It's the old story. Well, you just didn't try hard enough, you know. That the only reason socialism hasn't worked is you didn't do real socialism or real communism. So they don't change. Nothing will make them change.
That's right. I mean, you've got failed policies that go way back. Yeah. Everyone knows it, and they're just going to, they don't care. They're going to keep it. So, you know, I wonder if they're ever going to put it down. I mean, if this thing may never end.
It's going to be by popular acclaim. People are just going to stop doing it to enough of an extent, and there's going to be stupid incidents like the one on Spirit Airlines.
What happened?
Oh, well, this was great.
They took off like a 3-year-old child or something.
It was a 2-year-old kid that apparently was not wearing a mask while eating,
and somebody flipped out.
And the stewardess, who I'm sure it's just coincidental, was black, and the family was, I'm sure it's just coincidental, Jewish, was singled out. They supposedly made the plane turn back. And the original story was, this is great, the original story was they offloaded these people. But in fact, what happened was they offloaded the crew because they were afraid to just kick out the steward, the flight attendant, I'm sorry, to kick out the flight attendant, and they brought the family back on. So this got very little coverage in the mainstream media, but it's gonna be incidents like this that are gonna break the back of this thing, and people are just gonna, I'll use the example of that Easter Vigil service. There were probably people there that, yes, we're happy we didn't have to wear a mask in this particular setting, but maybe they looked around and said, you know what? I didn't die. Maybe it's okay to back off from this thing. And I think it's just going to be popular acclaim because the government is never going to back off, because they'd have to admit, you know, this was all BS from the beginning. So I keep making the analogy to that alternative license plate thing during the gas crisis in California. Mm-hmm. It was never officially repealed. People just started going for gasoline on the wrong day, and it wasn't enforced, and that was it.
Well, you know, it's like, it was like Attorney General Daugherty during the Coolidge administration. Harry Daugherty said that the best way to get rid of a bad law is to enforce it.
And,
you know, you can't, and, you know, but these things are probably going to be around. I think that states like Michigan and big government states, they're hooked on the power of this. They'll always be threatening to do another lockdown. They'll always be using more scare tactics. They'll always be masks. You know, it's too good for them to let go of it.
Well, that's exactly right. Until people just en masse disobey,
forget it, you know, ignore it, and you know, it's like, ignore, that's how, you know, leave it, let them continue on, and then you'll always have a couple of people who are.
Well, I was doing a little bit of that. I have to tell you, this was ridiculous. We went to, for the viewers, the nearest ocean beaches to Washington D.C. area in Delaware, but I figured, well, no, Biden isn't there right now, so it's safe to go, and one of the biggest beaches is Rehoboth Beach.
Sure, yeah.
And in Rehoboth, believe it or not, I'm not making this up, we're attempting to enforce wearing a mask outside as you're strolling around the commercial area of this And I told my wife, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not going to wear a mask walking outside.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they're going to bust me, that's fine. I mean, enough is enough. So I'm walking around and these people see me and they first don't know whether to get mad at me or to take off their own mask. And some did actually, because it just, come on, outside.
Good. Yeah, exactly. It's absurd. It got so idiotic. I think it was during the height of the hysteria, frankly, in New York State, when I think it was they said if you go to the beach, you can't go on the sandy part, but you could go on the wet part, and it got so arcane.
In California.
Oh, it's what that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There was a guy that was busted who was on a. Can't think of the name of the sport where you have a surfboard looking thing with a big sail up, parasailing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's no one within half a mile of this guy. And he got busted for being out there without a mask.
You know something? I hope people, take that to court, because is somebody have a right to make them? And that's not even that's beyond anything the CDC has said. Even the CDC has said that I think 6 feet distance, is the number. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, they could, and if somebody's giving someone a hard time, I mean, I don't know, maybe that could be one.
Well, a positive sign is there's this guy that was walking around our neighborhood during the height of this pandemic thing.
Right.
But again, walking around outside and the guy's wearing a mask. So one day he comes out without a mask and I happen to say to him, oh, I guess you stopped doing this. Go. Oh no. And he runs back to his house to get the mail. Well, anyway, I saw the guy last week.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing a mask. And I was afraid to say anything to him. But maybe even he stopped drinking the Kool-Aid.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to check in, find out next week.
That's right.
Stay tuned. Anyhow, but so what's your latest column-wise?
Okay, we talked about the vaccine passports, which, of course, the article now is kind of defunct because that just laid a total egg and Biden came out against it. But, of course, the real problem with those things, the Excelsior pass in New York, the security was a joke. The implementation was a joke. If you had a cell phone that was more than 3 or 4 years old, it wouldn't work. You could hack it so easily, it was unbelievable. And people were worried about, well, they're going to put all my other data on this platform. So that thing just died with a big thud.
Right.
The other thing was the antibody-dependent enhancement, which we discussed earlier in the program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to find other exciting things to write about for the next.
All right, Mike, where can people read your column?
All right, healthnewsdigest.com.
Healthnewsdigest.com.
And they're up there, and I have a full archive on my other site, but even a Health News Digest goes back a couple of years, I think, so you can get more than you want.
Digest, Michael D. Shaw, look it up. All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Always good.
And thanks for pushing the envelope.